sack. Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate team, here with Becky Ivins.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening to our real estate show. You can call in if you want to and ask a question.
Absolutely. The call-in number is 405-840-1000. That's 840-1000. We want to remind you that you can always subscribe to the podcast version of our radio show. Anywhere that you find podcasts, it should be there. So from the iHeartMedia app to iTunes, Spotify, and it would be a great thing if you are a fan of the show to go on, give it a 5-star rating, write a little note. It's really helpful to the podcast if you do that.
Well, okay, I guess I should do that.
You should do that, Becky.
Well, we've got kind of a show we've never done before.
Yeah, I'm excited about this one.
Yes. When you make a loan application, do you ever wonder what happens behind the scenes? Do you think that the person that takes your application is the one that sends for your employment verification?
Yep. So each week we talk to our money man, Dean Riddell. Mike Gannon, super producer, you got that queued up? That way we'll take care of the number and everything with it. But Dean, you are not alone, are you?
NMLS number
196-895.
That's our money man, Dean money. Riddell.
Good morning, guys. No, I brought our support staff, which I call the brains in the office, Ashley.
I know that.
Ashley and Carly. So the blessing is they're my daughter and daughter-in-law.
Hey, there you go. Keep it in the family.
See? There you go.
But the thing is you know the level of support you're going to get from your family. And you've surrounded yourself within the level of intelligence of
right,
your family.
Right.
So you're not going to hire them if they're not going to do you a good job.
They have surpassed me intelligence-wise.
There you go. Well, I want to go to the point of when someone makes a loan application online, Dean Riddell, homeloans.com, what happens to that application? Who picks it up? Who makes sure that everything's filled out right?
You know, this to me is probably the most critical part of the process, and one that, I'll be honest with you guys, lenders don't do a good job, because this is that breakdown we've talked about in previous shows. So when someone applies today, first thing Carly's doing is pulling it in tomorrow, and I'm going to let her run with it. What she does, because it gets into the income side, where okay. You employed side. So
yeah. That Carly, sounds good.
When you pull that in tomorrow morning or this afternoon, what's your focus?
Yeah, Dean, we're looking at credit, income, verifying all the assets, all employment history, just making sure that everything is solid and verified before we kick out that pre-approval letter that says you're good to go.
You know, Becky, because some of the breakdown in the industry is someone goes online and applies, and their source of income is commission. They've been a commission on the job for 6 months. They've been unemployed prior to that, let's say. But they put in a salary of $10,000 a month, because that's what they make. They're not lying. And that online lender will typically send that pre-approval letter out and say, yeah, your debt ratio is fine. You make $10,000 a month, but you've been self-employed for 6 months, and that's not being addressed, which happens down the road, which creates when Ashley gets involved, because she's kind of behind the scenes with the processing. But that's where the breakdown in lending impacts you two, impacts buyer, impacts seller, because that information is not vetted on the front end.
You know, we had a buyer not qualify this week. Because his veteran status was not verified ahead of time. He met all the guidelines for the loan, but his COE, Certificate of Eligibility from the VA, Veterans Administration, came back short of enough money, of enough eligibility for him to qualify for the loan. Now that's, we're going to have to do a show about VA eligibility because that has changed drastically in the last few years, as opposed to the old, yes, you qualify or no, you don't. The point system and stuff, it gets very complicated. We ended up having a really angry realtor on the other side because she had the listing. Mm-hmm. And, well, why didn't you know this ahead of time? Well, because the VA told us they were qualified, but then it comes back and they're not. So someone checks that in your office.
Yes. So when we get an application, if they're wanting to proceed VA, one of the first things we do is pull that certificate of eligibility, run what we call an entitlement worksheet, which just says, based on your certificate of eligibility, you are eligible for this amount of VA loan. Now, you still have to qualify for the loan, which comes into credit and income and assets and things like that. But the certificate of eligibility shows that the VA, you are entitled to this amount when you're purchasing a home.
Hmm. Yeah.
Which didn't happen in yours.
Well, here's what happened in our case. I mean, had they come direct to us, not yet qualified, we would have directed them and said, you know, you can use any lender you want to use. Here's who I used to get my home loan. And I trust them, and because they don't say you're qualified if you're not, right? This one came pre-approved with a letter saying they qualified for the VA loan with another lender, and they wanted to stick with that lender. And then in the end, if we had had Dean qualify them, we wouldn't have been in that mess. Mm-hmm. You know, had they not insisted on sticking with their own lender. And, you know, the lenders go through a lot of trouble. Everyone doesn't have to go through our favorite lender. But if they don't have a lender yet, we know that there's going to be an honest result. Not always a qualification.
Right.
But an honest result there.
I got a question for Carly. So you said you qualify or validate their working employment. How do you do that? Just go on their Facebook, stalk them?
Sometimes.
The best way to do that, so when you fill out an application with us, it prompts you to upload things like your W-2s, your pay stubs, your tax returns if needed. So what can really make that process go much smoother and quicker is if they upload those when they do the application. If we're kind of having to ask for them and chase them, it may take a little bit longer to get that verified and get your pre-approval out. But we also do it with what we call verifications of employment. So there's sometimes an automated system we can pull your verification of employment through, but a lot of times we go to whoever you work for's HR. And we reach out to them, we verify your income, your history with them, all the good things like that. But typically at the pre-approval, we can get things verified just through your pay stubs and W-2s.
So what's harder to verify, W-2s or 1099s?
1099s, for sure. That's where your tax returns come into play, your two-year history, because 1099 is considered a self-employed borrower. So you have to have a two-year history of income there. So it takes a little bit longer when you're self-employed or 1099 because we do have to review those 2 years of tax returns and make sure you show enough income and aren't writing too much off.
So when we come back, we're going to talk about what happens when somebody thinks they're making more money than they actually are. And the opposite. What happens if they're making more than what they know? Never happened to me. We'll be back right here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We're here talking with our money man and his crew, Dean Riddell from SWBC Mortgage, along with Ashley and Carly. And Dean, let's talk about what happens when someone's income doesn't match what they thought it was going to be.
Great question. And I think it's one of the biggest breakdowns within qualifying for a loan. So we live in a technology-driven world, which is, there's a lot of good to that. But it also, people don't know what they don't know. So let's make up a story. You know, Susie works, self-employed, 6 months, makes $5,000 a month commission. She also has $4,000 salary she gets. She applies that she makes $9,000 a month. What can we use, Mark, to qualify? So Susie goes in online, puts $9,000 a month. Lender kicks out a pre-approval letter, says, Mark and Becky, buyer's solid as a rock, take off and run. But what people don't know is what they don't know, which is we can't use that $5,000 commission income. And that's the part Carly was alluded to, is that she vets, when she applies and sees that she's on the job for 6 months, makes $5,000 a month commission, that's income we can't use. Or, you know, child support is an income flipper because they put their ages of their child on that application. They have a 17-year-old, 16-year-old, 10-year-old. We've got to prove that income's got to last for 3 years. So if you have a 17 and a 16-year-old, yes, Susie may be getting child support. I can't count it.
So if an income is not going to be consistent for more than 3 years.
3 years plus.
Then you can't use it.
Correct. So those are the people don't know what they don't know. Yeah. They apply. They're telling the truth. Carly and I taught a CE class. Becky, and you'll get a kick out of this. One of the agents in there was an older agent who said, Marilyn Pryor always told me that buyers were liars.
Well,
and what's the 10% or, I mean, they're
buyer, here's what we learned back in kind of the Iron Age, I think it was. buyers are liars. And sellers are thieves.
Yes.
And brokers are puffers.
Puffers,
right?
yeah.
Back.
So buyers, I will tell you, most of the time don't mean to be liars.
No.
And what we learned that referred to is what they say they want isn't what they end up buying. They say, oh no, I want a one story. I'll never take a two story. And they end up buying a two story house. Or I have to have four bedrooms. They end up buying a three bedroom house. Stuff like that. I mean, that's, you know, they just don't, they're not educated as to the market, what they can afford to buy to begin with.
Right.
And then what's available in their price range.
And on that income side, Mark, I mean, and we'll tell them, we do consults in the office and we'll go, I know you make the money. I know you make $9,000 a month. From a qualifying perspective, all we can use is four. And so it shrinks that buying power because I can't do and use what they earn.
Before we lose every listener that's on commission, let's talk about that. let's talk about that just a little bit more because I've been on commission for 46 years. Could I get approved for a loan?
Hopefully with 46 year history, we can make that work.
But they only go back 2 years.
They do only go back 2 years. And in some cases, we only have to have 1 year of tax returns, mm-hmm. which through COVID has really helped a lot of people qualify because a lot of self-employed borrowers lost a lot of money in 2020. And 2021, we've seen businesses start to come back. So now we're starting to look at 21 and 22, which when we can look at just 22, that's even better because people are starting to recover from the COVID area of businesses being shut down. But when it comes to especially self-employed borrowers, commission's a little different than just a straight 1099, someone who does lawns or, you know, someone who runs maybe a Schedule C or they have an LLC that they run. We're having to look at tax returns. Which most self-employed borrowers say, well, I make $15,000 a month, which they probably do gross. But we're having to look at write-offs, which buyers don't take into consideration. What am I writing off and how is that affecting my income at the end? So that's a difficult conversation to have.
And being a skilled loan processor, you know that sometimes it's not just your net income on there. You get to add back in a few things that most people would have as ordinary expenses.
Right.
Like maybe a car payment, something like that.
Yes.
So that you get to write off a certain amount of that because you use your car, I don't know, 75% for your business. So, but you can add back in a little bit for that. But it really takes a skilled processor to tell you the real scoop on that.
not only do you need the knowledge to know what to look for, but you have to have buyers who are willing to provide the tax returns up front, which is one of the most difficult pieces of information for us to get, is the tax returns from buyers. Either reluctance to give them, or, well, you don't need to see that information. So getting those tax returns is the first step, which, you know, we lean on our realtors. If someone's working with a realtor, you know, hey, behind the scenes, can you guys push your buyers to get those documents to us? Because we aren't able to qualify them right now. Buyers are getting antsy. They want that pre-approval letter. Realtors want to go show homes. So it takes a team effort to get the documents so we can actually start our review, which then is an easy process because we have an automated system to run your tax returns through, and we get your income right then and there.
I would probably be a real smart aleck if I were sitting in your position, because I would say to that borrower, you don't want to provide tax returns. So are you telling me that you really only want a 5% loan and we'll provide 5% of your purchase, and you're going to provide 95% as a down payment, because you're asking a lender to loan you money for almost the full price of the house. Mm-hmm. And you need to provide some documentation to let them know you're going to pay them back.
We get in, and we have a loan right now that really, it's a picture of what she just said. So someone applied, self-employed, is 20 and 21 income, 21 was prettier than 20, but it's still ugly. But on a conventional loan, we're able to use a one-year return. FHA, he doesn't qualify.
Oh, yeah.
So there's value in that experience, that lender, that mm-hmm. strong staff that makes it happen.
So what happens if somebody goes, I've got a car that I'm going to sell, I've got a boat, I've got a... I think, Becky, you have a story with a tractor. Somebody needs to sell something. Can they use that as income?
Not as income, but as assets. And we've got a paper trail. And Becky, you remember the old days in Perry Duncan. Because when Perry Duncan filled out an application, I mean, he knew to the penny what year their car was. He had a copy of their registration. I mean, Perry had the assets drilled down. And today, we've gone to more of a high level where the car being paid off doesn't help. But in answer to your question, people who are trying to sell tractors, boats, cars, those are legitimate sources of assets, not income. But we've got a paper trail that transaction with a bill of sale.
Yeah. I mean, I had a guy that several years ago, when he was just zeroing out on his sale of his property, mm-hmm. had an awesome property, but he was going to get zero out of it. And he was going to buy another house. He was not a veteran. And so I'm going, what are you going to use for down payment? Because I don't want to sell his house and then him not be able to buy another one.
Right.
Making people homeless is not really our goal here. But he said, well, I've got a John Deere tractor I'm going to sell. And I said, how much is a John Deere tractor worth? He said, well, one I've got's worth $42,000. I said, it's used? Yep. And it's worth $42,000 as it sits. And he got it. He knew exactly what that tractor was worth. But I told him, be sure, make a copy of the title, mm-hmm. give a bill of sale, and then make a copy of that deposit into your bank account so that it can be tracked. So that's what you guys do as processors, right?
Yes, we are looking through all the bank statements. So once the contract's written and we're rocking and rolling, we're looking at deposits, anything outside of payroll we're going to have to note. We're also looking at expenses. Do you have any maybe loans on the side that aren't matched to a credit report? So, you know, we're having to look at all of those things and just verify, yes, everything is as it should be and everything's just smooth sailing.
So how do you, I mean, do you get copies of bank statements?
Yes.
How many months of those do you require?
We request 2 months of bank statements, all pages, even the blank pages on your statement. We still need those. But in some loan programs, we only have to use your most recent statement. But we're always going to request two.
It's hard to see a trend with one or two bank statements.
Yes, it is, which is why we say, you know, if you have a large deposit, make it well before you're planning to purchase a home so that we just have to see those 2 month statements instead of what you're doing back before then.
Right. Well, and then if you, they sometimes people have a loan on the side that maybe they borrowed from a family member or something, they're obligated to pay $400 a month for 3 years or something. So if you see a withdrawal or a check for $400 every month, but with 2 month statement, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and real quickly, Mark, Carly and I had a situation about 2 years ago, great story, that these people wouldn't own a home today had they not come to the office, do the consult face-to-face. They apply online, credit's fine. They put them made $10,000. They had $10,000 cash in the bank. We bring them to the office next day, and we look at them, and we go, everything's great, except you don't have – I mean, what account is that $10,000 in? They said, it's cash. Mm-hmm. So that turned to, do you have a 401k? We can't use cash. Do you have 401k, what have you? And they said, no, but we have a boat and a bus we can sell.
We're going to talk a little bit more about down payment and where it comes from.
A boat and a bus. That sounds like a good time. We'll be right back on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate team, here with Becky Ivins and our special guest, Dean Riddell from SWBC Mortgage, and Carly and Ashley, the part of the team there at SWBC. We're talking about the application process, but now it's time for our word of the day. Word of the day is brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing from a small repair to a complete replacement. Give them a call at 728-3700. That's 405-728-3700. Becky, what's our word of the day?
Well, our word of the day is verification, because Carly and Ashley have said on everything they've talked about, we have to verify.
Have you verified? That is the word of the day.
Yeah, so so verification. The process of establishing the truth or accuracy or validity of something. So what is put on the application, they've worked at this job for 13 years. You have to verify that, right? Right?
Absolutely. Yes. Length of time is an important factor in your application and qualification.
There you go. So that's our word of the day.
Brought to you by Robbins Roofing.
Have you ever dealt with Robbins Roofing, guys?
Robbins Roofing's first class, super solid. So I would encourage any listener to reach out to Larry. He is, you know, we're all in an industry that has good and bad and ugly, and Larry is a first class solid individual that does what he does.
Yeah, and they put on a very good roof.
Boy, so. And listener, if you have not had someone on your roof verifying what is, because hail swept through the city.
Right.
And you need Robbins Roofing to go out. They'll go out for free and just take a look for you and give you the truth. They will verify.
And you know, Mark, on my situation is I had Larry meet the adjuster out there too. So
that's the smart way to do it.
Of course, Larry offered, volunteered, agreed, and all those came together as they should.
Okay. Yep. Well, when we took our break, you said someone to get their down payment had a bus and a boat.
It was an incredible story that, again, they would not own a home had they not come in. So, older couple, first-time home buyers, $10,000 was cash. They looked at each other dumbfounded. They had no 401k, no gift options, zero. And they looked at one another, not knowing that what impact it made on Carly and I, and said, well, I still think we need to sell our bus and our boat. And I said, you have a bus and a boat? Yeah. Free and clear? Yes. Well, okay. We're back on now. So we went through the bill of sale, the paper trail, the what to do, and now they own a home.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's a great story.
We'll go back to the tractor on mine. So my guy says he sold it for $42,000 and deposited that much money in the bank. But most folks say it was only worth $25,000. That's just a, I'm just putting a little twist on the story. So if, how do you tell if they're selling it for market price or if they're using their drug money to deposit in the bank?
Great question. So anytime a personal property item is sold, we do have to verify the value. RV trader, we've had to verify the boat value. Kelly Blue Book for cars and other things. Tractors, we've had to sell those before. It's a lot of Google searching just to find out market value of the vehicle. But again, that's something we do have to verify. Is this being sold for market value? Or is there something else going on here to try to get a little extra money to cover that down payment?
So I said processors. What's your official title on the team?
Officially, it is in-house loan officer, as I am also licensed to originate loans. But right now, I'm handling mostly the processing side of things.
Okay, and you'll learn a lot. And then, so what's your title?
My title is also a loan officer, but right now my main, so I can't originate, but right now I mainly assist Dean. So when someone applies, I kind of handle all of the pre-approval process up until when the contract comes in, and then Ashley takes over and handles it from there.
I didn't know your team was so much like mine, Dean, because our staff folks are licensed as well. And now I did hire a new one. She doesn't take her license test. She's finished her course, but doesn't take her license test for a couple of weeks. But I like everybody to be licensed, and that way they actually have the knowledge and the ability to take over a file and do it.
And be compliant.
Yes. compliance is a big deal.
Well, in a mortgage lending, when the housing collapse happened, regulators got involved. And for Carly and Ashley to be able to talk rate, cost, points, any originator has to be licensed.
So you have to be licensed to talk rate, cost,
money.
Points.
Mm-hmm.
Well, just like real
estate. Right, just like real estate.
You can't say how many, you can't answer to another realtor, well, how many bedrooms does that house have? If you're not licensed, you can't speak to that. Mm. So, I mean, there's things you can't. There's a lot of things you cannot do if you're not licensed,
right.
Which
right.
is why we're compliant.
Right.
So
right.
we get everybody to license. The person that answers the phone is in the process of getting her license, right?
But that's so. Smart. It's smart because in our world, literally, once we get that ball rolling, Ashley and or Carly are taking off and running with it. Comments come up from consumers that say, you know, what if I wanted to put 10% down? What do the numbers look like? What would my rate do if I did this or that? Them being licensed, they can hold that conversation and be compliant and carry on and take care of that client right there. Adverse to bouncing that call back and forth, they can
right.
run with it, Becky.
Well, and it's such an efficient way
to
run a team. Who else is on your team, Dean?
Our fourth member is Carly's husband, my son.
Oh,
and he's behind the scenes, and Austin does a lot of our marketing stuff that we do, but it's the four of us. So I have my son, daughter, and daughter-in-law.
Wow. Okay, so you guys don't get to go on a joint vacation, right?
We'll start calling him Godfather, Dean.
So I am blessed.
Oh, that's great.
Let me
ask a question about the process. So you go to DeanRiddellHomeLoans.com. I love the way it's set up there because it just goes, how much can I afford? I'm ready to apply. They apply. So, Carly, you look at their application first and make sure all the right information's there. So you're like first touch of that, correct?
Yes, okay. Yes.
So when does it go from you to Ashley? What's that trigger? And then, Ashley, what do you do with it? So when do you hand it off?
Yes. So once they apply and we get everything verified and we send them that pre-approval letter, we always say we kind of step out of the way at that point. And that's where the realtors go to work. They get to go see houses. You guys get to show them all the fun stuff, as I like to call it. And then we check in on them. But once we get that, you guys write that contract, send it over to us. That's when we hand things off to Ashley. So I'm kind of helping them up until that point. And then once the contract comes in, we hand things off to Ashley to get all of that part rolling with the address and everything.
So what happens when that file hits your computer?
So once I finally get the contract, we've loaded the address in, our initial disclosure packet's going out. It's going to contain all the information that's been verified from the prequal. It's going to contain different disclosures, you know, just saying, reminder, mortgage fraud is investigated by the FBI. You're going to hold your insurance. Once that packet goes out and it gets signed, then I jump in and I'm saying, hey, I've noticed this large deposit on your bank statement. I've noticed we have a gap in pay stubs. I'm starting to get the remaining documents needed. Maybe their credit report has three different addresses listed other than the one they put on their application. Well, we're sending an address letter saying, hey, when did you live here? Did you ever own these properties? You know, so then I kind of get into the nitty gritty of what is really happening with this file. How are we going to accomplish our 10% down or 20% down? Or is their income really right? Can I add any bonus income in here? Can we kind of play and see what we can do?
To me, transparency, communication, dialogue is what we have to do, because I think, again, people don't know what they don't know. Yeah. So they come in with the best intent.
Yeah.
You got to be open. If you got a bus to sell, you got a tractor to sell, talk about it.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you can't do it.
What surprises, what's the most common surprise when it gets to you, Ashley, that people have?
Large deposits or no money in their bank account when they say they have money, or, oh, no, I've talked to whoever, the lender maybe. I've talked to Dean. I actually have $10,000 I can use. Well, then I get a bank statement. It's four, and it's, well, yeah, because that rest of that $6,000 is cash. Okay, well, now we have to rethink this and sell a bus and a boat. So.
Those pesky cash, right?
It happens.
Yeah.
Can
you
ever use cash?
No.
Okay, there you go.
No, you know that.
When we come back, we'll have your smoking hot deal right here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. It is time for our smoking hot deal. Our smoking hot deals are brought to you by Casa Perico Mexican Grill, located on the south corner of 122nd and Penn, on 63rd just west of Meridian, and at 505 East Main Street in Yukon on Route 66.
There you go. Well, I'm going to tell you about two houses that are going to be open tomorrow. So I want you to go see the agents and see the house.
Especially and one of them. Especially one of these you need to go see.
Is it the 63rd? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, that's one I'm at.
Okay. Okay, this is a new Ron James designer home in Blackwood Farms at River Bend. Now, he will build you a custom home, too. If you just want to go check and see what his building's like, what he builds, then you need to check out this house. You might be tempted to buy it, too.
If you want to see the quality of Ron James homes, come visit me tomorrow at the open house, 2 to 4. It is beautiful. It is a beautifully and well-built home.
And it's just south of 63rd Street on 63rd Terrace. And that's in the 400s.
Yep.
Then we've got another one that Joe is going to hold open, and that is in Stone Mill Edition in Yukon. So you've got Yukon Schools. That's a big plus. And you've got a four-bed, three-bath house, over 3,500 square feet. And it's got a very nice in-ground pool, and that is at $575,000. Stone Mill Edition is just barely into Yukon, so it's real close to the highways and stuff to get everywhere.
Very, very easy to get around. Spectacular theater room that's upstairs.
Yeah.
Or bonus room or whatever you want to. It's fantastic little room there. Up there, if you want to see the open houses, you can go to BeckyIvins.com. Click on search listings. You'll see them listed right there. And come see Joe at in Yukon or myself in Riverbend.
There you go. And Blackwood Farms is south of 63rd, whereas Riverbend is north of 63rd. The Riverbend Estates is.
That's so. It. So, okay, we're talking with Dean Riddell and Ashley and Carly from SWBC Mortgage. Let's talk student loans. That's been in the news. There's been all sorts of stuff about student loans, and I think there's people that are confused.
Well, especially if they're in deferment. I mean, how do you know, Ashley, Carly, who takes care of this?
Both of us will look at the file for student loans. The main thing with student loans is determining which loan type the buyer's going to proceed with. Conventional, FHA, VA all have different calculations, so it's important for us to know, just in general, which program is the buyer going with so we can make sure that payment's accurate so we can get that debt to income correct.
And how do you know if it's deferred or when it's going to go off a deferment?
The credit reports have started showing when deferment dates end. As long as the deferment date ending is after closing date, we just use the standard calculation for whichever program we're using. But if the student loan shows a payment on there, we have to use whatever payment's showing, even if it's higher than what the calculation would be if it was a zero payment. So,
because most student loans that are in deferment don't reflect a payment due or a payment amount.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So you may have 14 student loans with no payment amount reflected and three student loans that have $125 a month reflected. So then we can use the $125 a month for those three in the calculations on those 14 that have no payment reflected.
Oh, okay. So that is going to require a little bit of expertise to figure all that out.
Which gets back into day one when Carly pulls that in. She's vetting items like that, too. We're addressing, because those are breakdowns, guys. Those are breakdowns that can happen. We had one 6 months ago in his deferment. We pre-approved him. He says, my deferment is 3 years down the road. His credit was expiring. This is kind of a God thing. His credit was expiring before closing. We had to re-pull credit. His deferment ended on one of his debts, one of his student loans. Well, at a higher payment amount than the calculation provided. What does that impact, Mark? Mm-hmm. Debt ratio.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it took some maneuvering, but he owns a home today.
Wow. Okay. Well, so that's a feel-good ending. What else do you guys verify on a regular basis? Like employment, and you get that from what source?
For verifying employment, initially when Carly has it, she's going to look at the pay stubs and run just a calculation worksheet to make sure income matches what they put. 40-hour-a-week buyer with an hourly rate or a salary borrower, easy to verify. If they work variable hours, we're going to have to do a bit more digging on the pay stubs and W-2s and use an average for that. But then once we get the contract and it comes to me, I'm usually reaching out to the employer saying, hey, we need this in-depth breakdown of their year-to-date, what they're doing, their position, how long they've been on the job, anything like that.
Is there still the question on there, do you expect this person to have continued employment?
Continued employment is on there, and also will likelihood of overtime and bonus income continue? You can have a buyer that makes overtime and has had overtime for 5 years. If that employer marks that it is not guaranteed to continue, we cannot use that overtime pay.
Okay.
Talk about the work number, because you have sources like that where you can verify income or verify employment.
Yes, so we do have a system called Work Number where we can verify employment. It's based on the employers, so a lot of bigger employers use this, which allows us to kind of pull that verification of employment up front without having to go through HR and wait on them. And sometimes when we get that, we don't even need their pay stubs because it's all right there in front of us at our fingertips. So it's a very nice system that kind of speeds up the pre-approval process as well, because we can verify that income on day one.
And I actually use that same thing for the property management side of my business to verify what kind of income they have in order to rent a certain house. Because some houses are renting for a whole lot of money nowadays. And you got to, you know, I had someone apply for to rent a house, and he said, well, I make $25,000 a year. I said, do you realize the rent for this is $2,200 a month? You wouldn't have money for gas to drive to work to get that money. So, yeah. So what else do you verify on a regular basis that, name something that maybe people think you don't even look at?
We're looking at your address history. So we're verifying where you've been living the past 2 years. Even if you say you've been living with family, we're sometimes verifying, have you been paying them rent? We have to verify 12 months history of any housing expense. A lot of times we're looking at assets, large deposits. Some people don't want to give us our bank statements because they're like, you don't need to see what I buy. And we always tell them, we assure them we're not looking at that. We're just looking for, like Ashley said earlier, any of those oddball deposits or anything that looks like maybe you have a loan that's not showing on the credit report. We're looking at their IDs to make sure they're resident, all the things that you look at when you're doing a loan.
Well, you have to be a resident, right? I mean, I don't know, recently, maybe you could have out-of-state jobs because you work virtually.
Right. Yeah, and that's a good subject because that has ramped up since COVID. In the old days, we would cite it as fraud.
You know? Because if you don't live in the state, if you don't work in the same state that you're buying the house in, there's questionable as to whether or not that's an owner-occupied property, right?
So remote working, you all, Carly, chime in on that.
Yes, so we're seeing more and more people trying to move here from out of state. So that's something else we have to verify with their employer is, hey, are you a remote employee? If you're not a remote employee, what's your job in Oklahoma going to be? Because you can't have a job in office in California trying to buy a primary residence in Oklahoma. That doesn't really make sense. So we do see a lot more remote work recently. It's fairly ramped up since COVID, which helps with those people moving from out of state because we can use that income if you're a remote employee and you're living anywhere.
Okay, there's...
We see that a lot where people are going, hey, I want to be in affordable Oklahoma and I need high speed access. That's what they need. Like, can I be right outside the city and I need high speed access?
Some of that mindset, though, from people in California, why can't you use my California income to be a primary resident in Oklahoma?
Yeah.
We've got more to talk about, so we have to have you back. Thank you, Carly. Thank you, Ashley.
Thanks, SWBC Mortgage. You can always find them at BeckyIvins.com. Click on Becky's Favorites. Thanks for being with us this week on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK.
And may all of your hopes turn to wishes. And may all of your wishes come true.